5 Leinenkugels, 4 Newcastles, 3 Miller Lights, 2 Shock Tops, and 1 random beer of your choice.
Lego.
Trophy hoarder show where you won't get bored. I'm honestly, bored. I can't believe it made it past episode 4. But with the help of everybody at PG, Tynosaurus Rex, Study D. Oh my god, we done killed Tricky. We some bastards, we some bastards. Cool, we just being nuts, no fuss. He be back in the past, first class. And again, let me think about it. Meanwhile, thanks to the crowd, but listen to the show. Yo, we still on top, let me kill a long way. Long way. Well, Tynosaurus, let's just say the SG paved the way. SG paved the way.
What up, dope people? If you hear my voice for the first time, you already guessed it. I'm hosting Get Scared, okay? I'm cool with it. I think I got it this time.
I would just like to say that I fully voluntarily signed up to be a part of this train wreck, Donnie. Not that I don't have some confidence in you.
It's my fault last time, and I had show notes ready and all that stuff. Man, the mic was messing me up, making me look bad. This time, I'm pretty confident in myself that it's going to be a train wreck, and I have no notes whatsoever. I just was thrown under the bus because Tricky's not here. No, he's not dead, people. The trophy wore mask.
Oh, no, he's totally dead, dude. This will be the second time that I've killed him off. Don't ruin it for me.
It seems that we have a second trophy horse killer. We thought NM Rain was the only one. Anyway, if you've heard his voice before, folks, it's Crash from the Gamer's Garage. What's up, Crash?
Hola, senor.
And he's back with the Spanish again.
¿Cómo estás?
I'm not doing it.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
We be in, damn it. E2?
Thank you.
Oh, you're not even going to answer my question.
And I did it in English.
Oh, you bastard. Donnie, back to you.
I have no other language other than English on me.
You know, I think we should point out that I got, after a few days of not talking to Tricky and kind of worrying about him, yeah, I'll admit that live and on air, but I called Tricky and he's eating ramen noodles and playing Darksiders 2 trying to get the platinum still, like a trophy whore. He told me he was out smoking in the hurricane.
Of course he was, man. He got problems, man. And nothing goes stop him getting his cancer.
Tricky, what are you doing? You know, 60-mile-per-hour winds, you can't smoke anymore if a stop sign goes straight through your leg.
60-mile-an-hour winds, that ain't shit. Come on.
Yes, for those of you who don't know, Crash is from Florida, and he has dealt with some pretty crazy hurricanes. Tell him a little bit about your hurricane experience there, Crash.
Okay, let's see. I went through the 2004 season where we had 4 hurricanes come through Florida, one being a Category 5, and people bitching about a Category 1, barely. That's almost a tropical storm. We had a tropical storm that was just below a Category 1 here. I was out working in that. Don't bitch to me about fucking extreme winds when it's Category 1. And I'm not saying I don't sympathize for the people in the Arc. Trust me, I do, because you're below sea level, and that's the biggest thing they're dealing with, is flooding. Don't tell me extreme winds. My ass.
Well, see, Tricky was like, oh, we're not getting much rain and anything. And then he's showing me pictures from around New York, and there are cars floating upside down. I'm like, what are you talking about, Tricky, not much rain?
We're not getting much rain. We just got a really big outdoor swimming pool.
Oh, that's what I said. Like, the biggest problem they're having right now is flooding, because they're not built for that there.
Okay, well, let me keep the show going, even though we pretty much just ran through, kind of, not really.
We had to give everyone the Tricky update so that everyone knows the Tricky is okay.
Yeah, well, we know Tricky is okay, we know you're okay, and we know who you are, Alex, and we know who Crash is now, and it's my first time podcasting with him, so I would like to say, hey, my name is Donnie.
That's
nice to meet you, Donnie.
That's not your real name.
No good meet names.
Yeah, well, this is Donnie's second time hosting. Am I correct there, Donnie?
Yeah, my second time hosting, and I would like to say it's popular demand, but nah, it's not.
You know what? I didn't get to be on that show the first time, so it's by my demand.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Tricky not here, and you didn't want to do it, and you said, "Do it, Donnie," and by me being not a valued member of the show, I had no choice.
All right. Well, let's get the show started here.
Please update, Alex. Let's go with you.
All right. I am level 18. Total trophy count is 2998, and my platinums are still 29. Once again, I'm waiting on that Walking Dead platinum. I got one more episode to go, but I did 100% two games. I got 100% trophies in Infamous Festival of Blood and Costume Quest, and then, of course, I am playing towards... I got Flower as well, and that game is spectacular. I am really enjoying Flower a lot, and I'm about 90% on that game. I just need one more trophy, and that's basically a trophy that I have to wait a certain amount of time, a week, to play the game, and then I'll get that trophy. So that'll be 300%. Not platinums, mind you, but still, full 100% on in the game. So pretty impressive nonetheless, I'd say.
Flower.
Flower is great. What do you got? What shit do you have to say about Flower?
I don't really have too much to say other than I just don't care for too much. It's not a bad game. I will say it was somewhat addictive when I first picked it up. And then to me, it got kind of old, like, rapidly. But it's, like I said, I'm not going to down it.
What, old rapidly? I mean, like, there were only six levels, really.
I finished the first one, and it was old by that time.
Old? I thought you were going to say it wasn't a game or something like that.
It's to me. You're just blowing around pedals.
Okay, but it's supposed to be soothing and relaxing.
You don't play a game to be soothing and relaxing. You play a game to kill.
Not in all games.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, I was like, do you play, like, MLB 12 The Show like me, which I'm still addicted to that game, like, really bad, to kill? I'm going to kill that fucking pitcher. I swear to God, I'm going to take the baseball bat and I'll bludge him in the head, and he's going to die, and his brains are going to spill out all over the ground. And then I'm going to put my foot on his chest, like, and then raise the bat in the air that's full of blood like a champion, motherfucker.
When he throw that ball, I'm going to kill this ball. Watch me hit this. Oh, I'm going to kill that ball. I'm going to hit, make all my homies run home.
Did I go a little overboard there?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Halloween was just yesterday, so it's understandable that some of those feelings would kind of boil over in today. Now, Donnie, I just, you know, I enjoyed Flower a lot. Like, sometimes I just want to sit down with a game. I don't want it to be high stress. I don't want it to be tense. I don't want to, you know, have a gun in my hands. I just want to, you know, enjoy the game and enjoy the music and the scenery and just, you know, just enjoy the game itself. Not that I can't do that with, you know, a game like Dead Space or Resident Evil, but, you know, sometimes I just want a game like Flower, and I thought that it was a very, very good game. And, you know, I've heard people call it, say it's not a game, and I think that's complete bullshit. I think it's a spectacular game, and I think it's one of those things that we see, it's one of those novel ideas that we don't see a lot of. You know, so we see a lot of shooters and a lot of games like that, and a lot of the same ideas passed around in the industry, and to see something like Flower is really refreshing, especially, you know, with a game like that game company, which has a history with, like, Journey and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed it. You know, if you don't like it, hey, that's fine, but...
I remember when the game first came out, and I knew a lot of people to be, you know, hardcore shooter fans and stuff like that. Like me, that's my main thing. I love shooters.
Yeah.
And I've never played Flower, but a lot of people that had the same taste as me as far as that was their kind of go-to game was the shooter, absolutely loved the game.
Yeah.
So, see, I mean...
They wasn't real killers, that's why. They ain't real killers. Okay. Moving on to... Crash, I see your trophy count up here. Did you ever get that?
Did I get what?
Your trophy count not up here. So did you ever get it? Or
yeah, I'm still over 9,000.
Trophies?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Donnie, what? He's wiping the floor with you.
What?
You know, I am so disappointed with you, Donnie, because you did not get that reference. What? Of all the animes that you love, you didn't get that reference. Power level above 9,000. Think about it.
Oh, is that supposed to be
Dragon Ball Z fans across
the world? I know what Dragon Ball Z, but I'm trying to think of the actual. Right. I know the anime. I'm trying to think of the actual character.
That said,
yeah, I'm trying to think, and I just got finished watching the whole entire series again, for like I don't know how many times.
Then how could you not know this?
I don't know. That's when I'm so mad with myself right now.
Yeah, you sound really broken up about it, Donnie.
I am. I will be spanking myself later, but not on the show. I don't want the fans to listen, hear that. But
oh, Donnie. All right. So Donnie, what's your trophy level?
My trophy level, by me, my system allowing me to play games this week, but only downloadable games. I can't play disc games anymore. But so we get to that later. My level is 22 still. I added some trophies. Trophy count is 4076. Plat is still 54. And I don't think I have 55. I might have 55 this month.
55? The Walking Dead? I think it's coming out in December, maybe, or maybe the end of this month.
Oh, that is some bull crap.
I know the disc is coming out in December, so it might be out late November. I don't know.
What about the downloadable?
Probably. I don't know. Maybe at the end of this month. I don't know. They don't have released it.
Yeah. They better release it this Monday. No. Skip.
Donnie.
You just made me mad. I don't even want to host no
more. Oh, don't be so butt.
All right, man. Let's go to what we planned. Alex, what were you planning? Well, you kind of mixed that in with your trophy.
Yeah. Well, I can talk a little bit more about it. I've been playing a lot of mostly three games. I've been playing Costume Quest, Flower, and of course, Infamous Festival of Blood. I got all of those for about $12. I got Infamous and Costume Quest as part of the Halloween sale on PlayStation Network. And you know, I gotta say, Infamous Festival of Blood, it was okay. I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, I only paid about $250 for it, so I got a pretty good deal on it. But that game, to me, the thing about open world games is, a lot of them, and especially Infamous, is it gives you this big open world where it seems like you can do a whole lot of shit. But when you get down to it, it doesn't give you very much to do at all. You know, you can walk around and shoot people with electricity and fly around and float around and, you know, travel on cables. But you can't do much else, you know? To me, Infamous Festival of Blood, I got it at a great price, and there are some cool things about it, like the fact that you could fly around, like, with this vampire bat vision. That's really cool, and, you know, it's a sucker punch game, so climbing buildings is really easy. Cole runs around really fast, he's really agile, and the controls feel great. But the content itself, the missions weren't very worthwhile, it was short, so most of the time you're just gonna be running around, you know, spending time just, you know, staking vampires and stuff, which sounds pretty cool, but it gets old really fast. So I wouldn't recommend Infamous Festival of Blood. Costume Quest is a game, I played the demo and I didn't really like it. It seemed too simple for an RPG, a turn-based RPG. But I played through the whole game and I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. A really cutesy cartoon art style. And the cool thing is, like, you pick up costumes for your characters and you go out through the three areas and you use your costumes to become these super warriors and, you know, battle monsters and stuff to get back your sister. And you have battle stamps, which, like, they allow you to apply special abilities to your characters. Say if you die, one stamp will allow you to regenerate after a turn and then with all your HP. So it's really cool stuff like that. So that game, I had a lot of fun with it. And then, of course, Flower, as we've already said, I thought that game was just spectacular. I really, really enjoyed it. A soothing game experience. So I just really enjoyed that game. So Flower and Costume Quest, I would recommend those games to anybody who enjoys PSN games, anybody who has a PSN account. And then, you know, Infamous, I would say stay away from it.
So not a killer I thought you was.
Yeah.
But
what game are we staying away from again? I wasn't paying attention.
Infamous Festival of Blood.
Oh, okay. Because I have Infamous too, and I was like, for a second, like, I missed it. I'm like, I thought you were talking about Infamous 2 in general. I'm like, man, I just downloaded it. I kind of wanted to play it.
No, and I got kind of burnt out on the on Infamous, like, on open world games. Infamous was the game that really broke me on those, because I played the first game, Infamous. I got the platinum in the first Infamous, played it a ton, and after that game, I'm just like, I don't want to play any more open world games. Now, I made an exception for Batman Arkham City, but
oh, and you're making an exception for Fallout 3 when I send it to you.
You won't let it die, Crash. You won't let it die.
Oh, dude, you better play it.
All right. But yeah, I mean, Infamous, it just kind of broke me on open world games, and I just don't want to do them anymore. So,
Donnie, have you played Fallout 3?
Nah, I'm not a huge first-person fan. It's very selective few first-persons I will.
Oh my god, you guys are killing me!
I bet if there was a Resident Evil first-person game, you'd play it.
No, it was, and I didn't care for it. That Resident Evil Dead Aim was some bullcrap.
Dead Aim?
Yeah. It was for, I believe, Station 2, I believe. Resident Evil Dead Aim.
Really?
Was first-person, yep. I believe it was. I believe it's Station 2. I could be wrong. It might be Station 1, but I believe it's Station 2, and it was some crap. My thing about the open world games that I'm getting sick and tired of is, and I wish they cut back on the collectibles in the future. Especially,
well, I mean, Infamous has some of that. Festival of Blood, it's got 100 little canopic jars, and they're like these little blood-filled jars around the city. And after you beat the game, you're like, after you get a certain power, you get this super sense where you can pretty much click on a button and it'll show you where the nearest one is. So it's really easy to collect them. It's just tedious because there's 100 of them.
Yeah, well, you know what? I would accept the 100. 100 is like almost like the perfect number for an open-world game, because going through that Amazing Spider-Man, we had to collect, what, 500 to 800 comic books?
800.
Yeah.
Honey. Yeah, that many. That a lot.
Yeah, that a lot right there. I was like, man, that is some bull crap. But let's move on to what Crash is playing.
I just started Starhawk today.
And it is amazing that he's playing this game, because I will say, man was bought Uncharted 3, turned it in for XCOM, so excited about XCOM, and you know what he's been playing on, because it's like crack, MLB The Show. And I believe he talked
about,
yeah, he loves that game, which is great because he's getting a whole lot of value out of it, but I'm interested to hear what Crash has to say about Starhawk, because I was a huge Warhawk fan, and I've admit that I've held off buying Starhawk the game, but it's one of those I might come back to depending on what Crash has to say.
I've only played like an hour of it, so I mean, when I was thinking Warhawk and then, you know, Starhawk, when I downloaded, I was thinking about a flying game. I've done minimal flying in the first hour and a half that I've played of it. I just started it today.
You're doing the single player, right?
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I understand that there's probably going to be more vehicles than just the Hawks and that little land speeder. And I guess that's supposed to be the big draw, because I never played Warhawk. So,
Warhawk, it was planes, jeeps, and tanks. That was pretty much the only... they added, like, a drop ship. And, like, well, I guess there was, like, a giant more a carrier, an ATC, a military carrier vehicle, too. But there wasn't really that many vehicles. It was focused mainly on... They had to balance the planes with the on foot combat and also the tanks. So I guess
why I want to get in like a vehicle and blow shit up, man.
Well, yeah, you can. There's a tank and anti-aircraft guns and planes.
Although I do not mind the on ground combat. Usually a game that tries to mix two things, you know, the flying aspect, you know, with whatever it may be, jet fighters or old school World War II, you know, planes, and then on top of that, you know, ground combat, you know, first or third-person shooter elements, usually one of them lacks pretty bad. And from what I've seen so far, and I was thinking that the ground combat would really lack, and it doesn't. The aiming is really, really well done. You don't have a problem with hit detection at all. It's not like your cursor is going all around the fucking screen or your reticule. And it's actually pretty enjoyable so far. I just haven't had much of a time to really get down with it.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that I really enjoyed about Warhawk. I poured like probably more than 250 hours of my life into Warhawk multiplayer. I like that game so much. And the cool thing was that they did a good job of balancing all the combat, because even if you're on foot, I mean, there are certain situations where if you've got a tank coming towards you and you're on foot, you're kind of screwed. But at the same time, if you get in a tank, if you've got good enough aim, you can take down a Warhawk, and there's anti-aircraft guns that can lock on and home on to airplanes. And there's like these binoculars that can do the same thing and create these huge blasts, like kind of like artillery strikes. So, I mean, they balanced that really well, and that's what made Warhawk so fun, is that no matter where you were, you could always, you know, get a decent amount of kills. You weren't, you know, completely helpless.
Yeah, the only thing that's my complaint as far as, like, the flying goes, instead of using the D-pad to switch to your special weapons and stuff like that, which, you know, obviously the D-pad is made a little bit different on the PS3,
and
it doesn't really work trying to go diagonal. That's really the only complaint I have as far as the controls. Other than that, it's excellent. I love it.
Awesome. Okay. And Donnie, what have you been playing? Donnie.
Hold it in.
Donnie with your big gulp. What have you been playing?
Oh, I thought that was a bong.
yeah, that was a drink. Not alcoholic. I don't drink that. What I've been playing, like I said earlier, my system has allowed me to play games now, just not retail games. Because the laser is down, I had to replace the laser.
Yeah, Donnie's actually going to try to do that, everyone.
I'm not going to try to do it. I know how to do it. People, when you got something wrong with your system, you know, hit me up now. I have turned into a pretty decent PlayStation tech, you know. And I don't know. I will say this. I'm not quite sure why my system is allowing me to play video games now. But I will say that I'm happy, and I do know how to change the laser.
Yeah.
Donnie will be taking anybody's PlayStation that does have a problem. For $49.99, you can get yours repaired. Just for the simple cost, also, including shipping and handling.
Yeah, just hope it makes it through the streets of Detroit alive.
Oh, it'll make it there, man. It's cool. It'll make it back to him.
The UPS man doesn't get out of the truck, though. He just throws it as hard as he can against the door.
Donnie is also guaranteeing 30-day money back.
Nah, no money.
If you are not happy. Oh.
Money back guarantee.
You want to make some money? Shut up. Let me be your manager.
Does anyone want to know why, how change coins ended up in Donnie's PS3?
Okay, I'll tell that story again real quick, fast, in a hurry. But I came home one day. I went to go play me some, I think it was Uncharted 3. Yep. Matter of fact, it was the second day Uncharted 3 came out. I came home from work. Went to go play it, and it wouldn't work. So I pushed the eject button, and my system was reading that the disc was in there, but when I pushed the eject button, it wouldn't nothing come out. So I figured my system was jammed. So I look in the disc driver slot, and it's freaking memory cards and coins jammed in there. So I had to pry them out with a butter knife. I had to pry it out with a butter knife, and I finally got the disc to come out, and it came out like very slowly. It was literally like the system. So it was like a little person was in the system really struggling to push the disc out. And on top of the disc, there was more coins. So my system got turned to a slot machine. I guess you could say I hit the jackpot.
Dude, that's why your fucking retail games aren't probably playing. There's a penny over the laser.
No, I got that out.
Okay.
But I tried that Star Hog. I gotta say, to me, it is some crap. I deleted it after the first half hour.
Really?
I didn't like it. Yes,
you
I
only
did
gave
not.
It 30 minutes? You didn't even get to the flying.
I got to the second part. The second part when you that green and white machine that converts into a plane.
Yeah.
After that, I played like maybe 10, 15 minutes of that part. And I was like, you know what? I can't deal with this no more. I didn't like
flying games. It's okay. You can admit it.
I didn't like it. I deleted it. I even gave that Payday a try. That is some crap also. See, this is why I don't download stuff from the PSN. This is why I say what I say about Plus.
Payday the Heist, you have to play co-op.
I play with co-op, and that, you know, it's fun co-op. Especially if you get people on Skype, like it's easier. Like if you have a bunch of people, like three or four people, it's much better than having you and like a bunch of AI. It's fun. You know, it's a basic kind of shooter, but at the same time, if you've got a bunch of friends together working together, you know, it's pretty fun. Although I will say, it gets kind of annoying when they throw like hundreds of cops at you, or like seemingly hundreds of waves of cops at you through certain levels.
But yeah, I, you know, I left that on for just. Maybe I will be able to get somebody going. I didn't delete that because I was thinking to myself, like, man, this game got somewhat of a potential because to me, I didn't feel like I was playing a heist game. I didn't feel like I was playing a bank job or a heist game because nothing. I couldn't send off commands like I wanted to send off, like here, go there, and then we, you know, do what we're supposed to do. Like I learned these movies and Inside Man and movies like that. I couldn't do none of that stuff. So that's I didn't care for that too much. So I left it on. Maybe somebody would come and play Payday the Heist with me. That would be great. So the first time I got my system up and running again to play video games, I was forced to go through the whole entire 4 episodes of The Walking Dead again. It didn't have any, even though I have my save files in the game data, but for some reason it didn't read them at all. So I had to go through all the episodes all over again, which I did not mind. I pretty much went through it as the same way I did. Alex, I gotta say, man, I really like episode 4.
Episode 4 of The Walking Dead?
Yeah, I like episode 4 of The Walking Dead.
I mean, what specifically did you like about it? I mean, like, I like the ending because I was like, oh, holy shit, this is this could get bad. But I mean, particularly, I mean, they introduced new characters in it, and then all those new characters were pretty much gone by the end of the episode. Kind of spoilers there, sorry. But it's, you know, you get to know these new characters, and they're just gone after that. And like I said, it feels like it's kind of set up, and you know, there just doesn't seem to be much happening in that episode. It's just not as good as the other ones, I think. I mean, what did you like about it?
I kind of got out of it, because by this being like the second to last episode, I figure like they mellowed it down just slightly. It's, to me, it still kept the tension there. I liked it. It kind of like, it reminded me of the episodes back when things was taken easy on Herschel's farm on second season. It wasn't really no zombies going on. They were just basically giving insight on their plan and what the heck is Herschel, you know, keep coming at. I can't remember freaking names for Jack. What's the main character?
Lee.
Rick.
Rick. Which, in which one? In this TV show?
Yeah, the TV show.
Yeah, Rick.
Is it? Yeah. Why Herschel keep coming, giving attitude and all this and that. You know, it just had a mellow for that, like those, that set. I think it was like two or three episodes how it would just mellow in season two of The Walking Dead. And episode four, to me, it gave that. And just a setup before the big ending to me. And I really liked it. And you know, okay, we kind of taking like real long in this because
yeah,
I figured Tricky wasn't here. So I figured we'd be able to get to this episode. But it's like we still taking our sweet time with this. So let's move on to the first topic of the show. All right, the new Devil May Cry reboot of the game. They just announced that the unlockable difficult settings is going to be there, just like all the other ones. And when you get this, you know, the same way you play all other Devil May Cry games, you know, you beat the default difficulties and so on and so on, and you unlock the next ones. They mentioned three new ones, I believe. No, this is all the same ones. We got the, you know, the regular must die. And one, what's it, how you pronounce that? Nephilim. Nephilim. Okay, that.
That's the hard difficulty in the game.
Yeah, okay, that's hard. Okay, here we go. And then we also have the, what they call in the extreme difficulties, which is Son of Sparta, which is the enemy just slightly tougher. And we all know that dreaded, and I can't stand it, the Dante Must Die mode, which is, the enemy is just insane.
Yeah, but that's not even the top one, Donnie, because there's two above that. There's Heaven or Hell, in which the remixed mode, but everyone and everything, including Dante, dies after one hit. And then there's Hell and Hell mode, the same as above, but only Dante dies after one hit. So it's one hit and you're dead.
Okay, but you know what? That's going to replace the Dante Must Die.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. Why the hell would you want to play that? I mean, I understand you want challenge in your games, and I'm all for that. I mean, you're talking to a guy who used to play PS2 games on easy just to see the story without, you know, much opposition or anything like that. But now I start on normal all the time, and I play through a lot of the games on the hardest difficulty, you know, for trophies and stuff to complete, you know, to get the platinum trophy. But Hell and Hell, one hit and you're dead in a game like Devil May Cry? Why the hell would you want to do that to yourself? That's not fun.
Exactly, especially, and I'm assuming, I will hope in that mode, they will at least make the enemies normal instead of making them like Dante Must Die, and you, because it's not going to happen. If they got the enemies fighting like Dante Must Die, I don't see anyone getting that.
Now, there are certain like Japanese games like Vanquish, which at times can be just punishingly hard. And they're notorious for that. Now, obviously, this is done by Ninja Theory, so it's a Capcom property. It'll be interesting to see how hard they make it. Because, like I said, there's just some difficulties I look at, and I'm just like, you know what? I don't ever want to try that because that doesn't sound like fun at all. Crash, what do you think? Do you play on like the hardest difficulties, or do you just stick to like normal?
I usually stick to normal. I don't like to. Well, when it comes to games, let's just put it this way. Sometimes I have a short temper, and I'd rather not go through multiple controllers because I jumped on it up and down like a 5-year-old throwing a temper tantrum. So, yeah, I play on normal.
Well, because normal is considered to be what the developers wanted people to play on.
Yeah, that's how I figure. I figure people who play normal, like me, would like to get through the game and enjoy the game and enjoy the story. If you play it on Dante Must Die right off rip, you're not going to get anywhere. And people going to be, it's going to be a very long time before you see the whole story, because you're not going to make it there until like, yeah.
Well, I mean, will they have like a New Game Plus where if you beat it on one difficulty level, you can go to the next difficulty level with all your like powered up weapons or anything like that?
They did have that in part 3 and 4. And my technique before I went to Dante Must Die was to go through that like multiple times on like normal. No, after I beat the normal, I went through it on easy, like multiple times, just stacking up money, because that's like what you need in Dante Must Die. Stacking up money or skill points, like whatever you, they had you buying the ores, just stacking them up, stacking them up, stacking them up. It's not really enjoyable at all playing on these difficulties like that.
Well, of course, Devil May Cry comes out in January 2013, so a little bit longer of a wait, but you will be able to get your hands on a demo coming in this month. Apparently it's coming to Xbox Live and PlayStation Network coming to Xbox Live November 20th and PlayStation Network the day later, so that'll be your first chance, if you haven't already played it, to get your hands on some Devil May Cry. So,
wait, moving on, and I'm going to pull a Triggy and pass this one to you, Alex.
Why are we passing this one to me?
This is like the only topic I did not...
Oh, Donnie, you're ill-prepared. You're losing it. You had me from the beginning at hosting, and you're starting to slip a little bit, but that's okay. We can work through this. All right, so EA, we all know them, Electronic Arts. They've been viewed as an evil company, but they're very forward-thinking in a lot of things. They did a lot of things. They bought PopCap. They did a lot of things with social games and, you know, digital distribution, and they've trying to move forward and kind of... diversify their portfolio between retail games and stuff like that. So one of the things that Peter Moore was talking about to Wired was a changing business model of AAA games, and specifically he gave an example of like saying paying $15 a month where you could access a lot of EA's old games as well as upcoming new games, sort of like a Netflix model. And, you know, he said, okay, well, there'll be some problems with this model, you know, broadband quality, it's not the same everywhere, and, you know, the availability of the internet worldwide. But, you know, he looks at it as like something like Origin or, you know, Steam, where you can download the games once to their system and play at will, as opposed, you know, to streaming. Crash, let me ask you first, we all know that retail is still a pretty strong business. A lot of people like to have those disc games, they like to feel like they own a game, but... what do you feel like when you hear something like this? I mean, would that be something you were interested in, like paying EA a $15 a month fee to play most of their games?
Well, it depends what they were.
Well, here's my thing. Like, if you pay $15, like, is this going to bring an usher in a future where EA, you have to pay $15 a month for EA games and then $15 a month for Activision games and $15 a month for Sony games and $15 a month? Is that what this is going to turn into? Because the way I read it is that you're going to have to pay $15 a month for, you know, Electronic Arts games, but at the same time he says, you know, it's a model close to Origin Steam, and of course those services both have third-party games on them. So you've got Steam, which has, you know, a ton of PC games from a lot of different developers, and even Origin has third-party games. So, I mean...
Yeah, but Steam, there is no monthly cost. Yeah. You pick and choose, and you buy what you
buy
want.
Buy a la carte.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is this something that you would be interested in? I mean, you like say, because they say new games, and possibly, I'm assuming that if you pay $15 a month, you know, you're getting, you know, you figure you pay $15 a month for 4 months, that's a $60 game right there. You do that, three times a year? That's about $180. You figure, EA figures you're paying how much for their, you know, maybe on average, most people buy 4, maybe 5 retail games a year. So maybe EA's done the math and they say, this is how, you know, at this price, it's low enough to get a lot of people to invest, but we still make our money back.
No, I wouldn't buy it. First of all, I think a lot of the games that EA puts out now are pretty much shit. I really haven't seen anything out of EA really that I want to play. So for me personally, it really wouldn't do much for me. And on top of that, I mean, look at like things like PlayStation Plus, where you're paying $17 for 3 months. You get free games. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. There's about, what, like 10 free games right now?
Yeah.
They can go download right now, play them. Also, you have things like if you still have a Blockbuster in your area, $15 a month lets you get unlimited game rentals. Of course, it's only one at a time, but if you finish it, you can go back and get another game.
Yeah. And at this time, how many games a month are you really going to want to play? I mean, you'll probably have, you know, during certain heavier months like October, November, you may want to get more than you can, you know, rent out. But, you know, you can just get those like in December or January when there's typically not a lot of games out.
Yeah, I mean, I got my PlayStation Plus. I do have Xbox Live still. And then I got my Blockbuster Pass, which is, I mean, so between my PlayStation Plus and my Blockbuster Pass, that's 45. We're just going to round down a little bit. $15. So $60 for 3 months. I get all these free games from PlayStation Plus, and I'm doing this in a 3 month span. Yeah, and then as many game rentals as I want from Blockbuster right now. So, I mean, and then the games that I'm going to pay full retail for are games that I'm going to keep for a very long time. Why do I need to pay $15 a month for games that I might not want to play?
Touche. All right. Well, I mean, the great thing about PlayStation Plus, and I may have said this before, is that I, you know, what Sony and Microsoft need to do is they need to have, like, Steam-esque sales where they, like, with what Sony did with these Halloween games where they, like, Costume Quest was, like, $2. You know, do something like that where you make the price so low that I can't say no. If they did more of that, I'd be all over it. I know that's been discussed before, but PlayStation Plus, like, I'm constantly telling myself, you know, I have too much to play now because they're constantly giving us free games. And it may not be the newest games. They gave, like, NFL Blitz recently for free. So it may not be, like, the best games out there, but it's still, like, a lot of the games that they've given us, I've really, really enjoyed playing. Like, we got Shank 2 earlier this year, and I had a lot of fun with that.
Oh, but NFL Blitz was a lot of fun, you gotta admit.
See, I'm at the point where Blitz doesn't, like, I play one game of Blitz, and I'm done. Like, I can't play anymore that night.
Oh, really?
It's just, well, that game, like, even, like, easy is too easy, and then normal is too hard. Like I told you how to do the strategy. There's no pass interference, so you knock down the receivers. But to me, the controls, it's too hard to do that. Like the controls, I can't line up my guy that quickly, so I end up my guy ends up shooting off to the right when the guy's running to the left.
Okay, maybe it's easier to play on Xbox. That's what I had it on.
Yeah. So I mean, like
maybe that's it.
But I mean, like there's just with PlayStation Plus, I've got just so much to play, and you know, at $50 a year, that's so much cheaper than the plan that they're talking about. You know, $15 a month, that's, you know, I mean, that's at least, what, three times as much as the PlayStation Plus service? So
yeah, and look what's been offered. I mean, just in the past 2 months, right now, King of Fighters 13.
I haven't even gotten to Borderlands. I haven't even been able to play Borderlands.
Borderlands 1, Payday the Heist. Right now, that's three games right there. You know, are you going to have time for anything else, really?
Oh, and by the way, the people, I think, in the UK got Dead Space 2 for free.
Okay, NFL Blitz, there's another one. So, I mean, for net $17 for 3 months or $50 for a year, I mean, that far outdoes $15 a month for only EA games. And EA does have a huge catalog, but at the same time, what are you going to get? If you're going to make an announcement of this, you know, magnitude, you better have a fucking list ready.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, there are only a few, two EA that games I can think of that I want to play right now, and that's Dead Space 3 and then Plants vs. Zombies. Two.
Well, I mean, you get Plants vs. Zombies for cheapest. Oh, two?
Yeah, Plants vs. Zombies 2, Popcast making number 2, so I'm definitely excited for that.
Okay, how do you know that's going to be available? How do you know that they're not going to do something like PlayStation Plus where they're older games, which is nothing wrong with older games, but at $15 a month compared to $50 a year or $17 for 3 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, oh, I definitely agree, but it seems like right now this is just speculation, him saying that possibly this is something he envisions, not that this is something they're going ahead with. But Donnie, you've been silent. What's up? What do you think about this?
A comment that Crash made was like, well, if I'm going to buy a retail game, I plan on keeping it for a long time. And to add to that, with me, and I'm quite sure other people do this because there's so many people that's using these rental companies now, like how he said, he's with Blockbuster, I'm with Gamefly. I'm not sure with you if you are with somebody. But, you know, people are using these rentals companies because of they don't have money to buy these retail games.
There's so many now.
Not only is it so many, we don't have money to waste on games that we know or feel like we might not like. You know what I'm saying? And like people like me, the retail games I buy, I'm keeping. And those are the ones that I know that I'm going to play. Like I already know about this game and I know the company behind it. And, you know, I'm going to spend money on this particular game because I want the people that I'm buying from to make more video games like this and that I like. So that's why I buy the retail games. The reason why I'm with Gamefly is because I play a lot of games and I know dang on well I'm not going to keep any of those games once I play it one time.
Yeah, Donnie's like me, and this is a thing that a lot of people need to do, and they still don't. And I'm telling you, if more people did this, game prices would be a lot cheaper, and you'd probably see PlayStation and Xbox games start dropping in price. Even the XBLA titles that never drop in price, it seems, is to vote with your wallet. Do your Gameflies, do your Blockbuster passes if you have one available in your neighborhood still. Because I can tell you right now, I don't buy retail games all that much. I might, let's see, 63 games, so that's 120, 180, plus maybe some, we're going to go even the high side. So $45, I might buy 3 top shelf XBLA games or PSN games a year. So that's $225, plus my Blockbuster pass for an entire year. So you're talking, I'm under $400 a year for video games. That's pretty fucking good.
I'm already cheaper than that. I think I bought maybe 3 retail games this year, and then $50, well, I got PlayStation Plus for free, so I probably spent less than $200 on games this year. Well, actually, maybe with the PlayStation Plus, with the PlayStation Network games, maybe DLC, maybe $250.
Yeah, well, then I'd throw in my PlayStation Plus thing and my XBLA, so I'd say probably $450 a year. That's not bad. I mean, think about it. $450 a year is going to give me a lot more games than somebody going out there and buying 10 retail fucking games.
Yeah.
The entire year.
Even like, don't like only like just one of them. And that's just some money wasted. And then you're going to trade it in. And then you're going to have a whole nother, that other conversation over again on the show. So,
yeah. So for less than $500 a year, I'll get 20 times more games than the person that goes out and buys retail copies, because people don't understand. They're like, oh, I'm just gonna pay the $60. It's okay, and they really don't realize that they're throwing away money.
It's okay. Like if there's a game that you really want to play, like I mean, I'm not gonna tell someone how to spend their money. So if someone wants to go spend money on, you know, a new retail game, hey, that's cool with me. There are only a few.
Well, that's fine. But,
you know, I mean, there are only a few. It's smarter to rent. I understand that, and you can get, you know, different avenues. You can get games cheaper at different avenues. But there are only a few games that I'm willing to spend $60 on. Darksiders 2 was one, and I kind of wish I didn't spend $60 on it. And then Resident Evil 6. So I mean, I'm willing to pay the $60 on a few games.
Glad I didn't spend $60 on Resident Evil 6.
Oh man, you're with the wrong crowd, because Donnie and I are both Resident Evil 6 fans.
And I don't care. I will fight you.
All right. Well, here, Donnie. Let's transition into the Resident Evil story that we got here. Since Crash brought it up,
people who's crapping on it is like, I bet you a great deal of them like Resident Evil 5, which I don't understand why you don't like Resident Evil 6 if you like Resident Evil 5. To me, they mixed the two together. They didn't bring the horror back like I would really hope they did. But they still at least tried to bring it and mixed the two together, horror with the action.
Well, there are times in that game where, like with that Phantom Anaconda thing, and then some of those crab walker enemies where the bottom part of the body is like a crab thing, and then the top part of the body is a human torso, when you're in those tight hallways and you're trying to shoot those things and they're jumping on the ceiling and crawling everywhere, where I just want to turn around and run the fuck out of there and regroup so I am not sitting there dying. So there are.
I expect that people who play Flower, man, not killers.
I helped bring down that Phantom Anaconda. So hey, I've made it through two episodes so far. So you watch yourself there, Donnie.
You know what? I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just want to make a request from you that we skip this topic because I really, really, really want to play Resident Evil 6 and I can't.
No, man, we got to do this. We got to do this.
So how did Cliff Bleszinski say he was going to fix it?
Well, he didn't really give anything. He didn't give any details. He kind of just put out a little Twitter message that, hey, Capcom, call me. We can fix Resident Evil together. There's a lot more periods in there than I suggested with my reading. But he said he later added that the tweet brought in more Japanese followers than ever and admitted that the comment was a bit cocky. Look, you know what? I really don't have a problem with the comments. I mean, Cliff Bleszinski can say whatever he wants. The dude's made some really good games. He's been a part of some really good teams, and Epic Games is really strong, whatever they do. But I don't give a fuck what Cliff Bleszinski says.
I do. Because Resident Evil 6 is shit.
I fully support you believing that, Crash. You know, if you think that Resident Evil 6 is crap, hey, that's your opinion. You are certainly welcome to it, and I have no problems with you saying that. But for me, and the time I've spent with it, like playing the co-op, and like the co-op in the Resident Evil, past Resident Evil games is great. Some of the best co-op games you can get out there. I have no problem saying that at all. Look, if you were expecting Resident Evil 6 to make you as scared as you were during the first Resident Evil games, that wasn't going to happen. Okay, let's face it. Game development.
That's fine, and that's fine, and thank you for saying that. Because what I've said before is I understand that this is the argument we had on Gamers Garage. I understand they had to take it in a different direction because they're trying to continue the story, and that's fine. I get that, but it's not survival horror anymore. It's horror, but. You know,
a lot of people say it's hard to make a game that's a funny comedy game. It's so hard to make a game that's actually scary. I mean, I played Slender for Extra Life. That game is fucking scary. My first time playing it, my heart was beating out of my chest. It was scary as shit. Resident Evil 6, I mean, like, there are moments of tension in Dead Space, but I'm not sitting there scared playing it. You know, I'm tense and worried about what's coming around the corner and just kind of being careful about the way I move, but I'm not scared while I'm playing it. It is so hard to make a scary game. How many games out there are truly scary?
Dude, you just saying that because you're around the guys right now, man. You peed yourself in death.
No. No. How many games are truly scary? Name a game that you've been truly scared of.
I'm about to go off with Dead Space 2. The Suffering was scary as crap.
I'll agree with him on Dead Space. I never played through an entire Dead Space game, but I played through the demo, the first one. Man, I about shit myself from the first freaking, what are they called? Necromancers?
Necromorphs. The enemies?
Necromorphs or whatever? Jumped out of that freaking tube or whatever the hell it was. I about shit myself.
Right now, okay? In my opinion, game top in Dead Space when it comes to the scariness right now.
No, in mainstream games, no. I'm sure there's some smaller indie game that a lot of people haven't played. First of all, my first playthrough through Slender was scarier than anything I played in Dead Space. By far. But, I mean, look, the reason that those older games are scary is because you have, in newer games, you have this more fluid movement. You know, you have bigger weapons, you have generally more ammo. In the older games, you know, let's be honest, it's harder to move. In the first Resident Evil, you're trapped in the police station. They're very tight quarters. There's not a lot of open spaces. I mean, I just don't think it's even if you put, you know, you can't have a game in all these tight corridors anymore. Like, putting a big game now, a AAA game, in one setting, in one, like, police station, I don't think that would work. Like, I just think it's I think it's much harder to make a scary game now, a truly scary game, than it was back then.
Then they're not trying hard enough. If you're telling me that a developer can't make it a little bit more difficult and a little bit more survival horror-esque, you know, then what the fuck are you doing?
I'm not a huge fan of Silent Hill, but Silent Hill is a very, very, very scary game too. I just don't like the gameplay of them, and that's somewhat open world, but it's not tight spaces, and you can roam the streets and go in different buildings, and they put horror in that, and that's not tight quarters. And that, to me, that's on the same, almost on the same level as Dead Space. Scary.
Well, part of it is, and this is what's scary about Slender, is you can't defend yourself. You can walk away and you can run. You can't defend yourself. In one of the, was it Silent Hill Shattered Memories, you didn't have weapons. You didn't have melee. You just ran away from trouble. And the fact that you're so helpless, that helps make a game scary. And yes, music all leads into it, but I just don't know. Like, and here's another thing: is you know, there are genres for games. You know, we say survival horror, we say action, we say, you know, though this is a comedy game or an adventure game. I think that you can apply adventure game and action game much more easily, and like RPG much more easily to a game than you can survival horror, because everyone has different tolerances of pain. Everyone has different tolerances of scary. What might scare you doesn't scare someone else. What doesn't scare you might scare someone else. So how do you know that Resident Evil 6 isn't genuinely scary to some people?
It's not so much as a scare factor, though, Alex. It's survival, though. And tell you the truth, survival horror, this is what the thing about survival horror is that fighting should not be your first option. It should be defense and running and surviving. You don't have that in Resident Evil 6. It's not survival horror. Because you know what? I never had a problem when I was playing co-op with Klaus as far as running out of ammo or being able to melee my way out of a fight.
See,
or a situation.
See, I will say during Leon's campaign early on, I meleeed everything. Had no problems. But as it got into Chris's campaign, I can't melee anything. I mean, I can melee things, but it's going to get me killed. I have to shoot things. And, like, ammo, it's getting scarce. I get run out of ammo all the time.
I meleeed more in the Chris Redfield campaign than I did the Leon campaign.
See,
and I still shot a lot in that campaign, too, in the Chris Redfield one. And Klaus and I still did not have problems with ammo, ever.
Yeah, I never really had problems with ammo either, but that was like my biggest thing with the Resident Evil 6 is that melee. I don't want to sit here and go hand in hand with zombies because, you know, they can scratch. Well, in real life, they can scratch you, or you just might get nicked.
Well, I mean, they melee things in like The Walking Dead. I mean, it's with melee weapons, yeah, but I mean, like, melee is a part of zombie movies all the time. It's not like you're fighting like hordes of zombies at once in Resident Evil. You may have like packs of them, but it's never like a giant wave of them.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing with Resident Evil 6 is I went into it, I knew it was not survival horror, even though I'm told I went in there with a bias, which is bullshit. Yeah, the bias was I didn't think it was survival horror, but I went into it because I saw the co-op gameplay on it and it looked like a lot of fun. And it fell really short for me. Like, I was like, okay, it still looks fun. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to play some co-op with Klaus. It's going to be a great time. And we got through the Chris Redfield one, but there were so many times we're just like, oh my God, is this not fucking over yet?
Yeah, the chapters are long. I mean, each chapter can be a game itself.
Yeah, it is.
And it was just, and we got the majority through the Leon campaign, and Klaus texted me the next day when we were going to play again and finish it up. And he's like, can I take this back to Redbox? Because I really don't want to pick it up anymore. And I was like, dude, I feel the same way. I really don't want to play this anymore.
Yeah.
And we quit.
And that's Resident Evil need to bring the horror back. I understand continuing the storyline, which they did, and they took it to like a whole nother level. But still, they need to bring the essence of Resident Evil back, horror back.
Well, it's still horror, but I think you're talking about like more like a survival feel to it.
It makes me jump. It makes my heart beat faster than it's supposed to be.
If they're going to have guns in it, as many guns as they have in Resident Evil, all the shotguns, the RPG, the handguns, the magnums, the hand cannons, do you think it's possible to make Resident Evil as scary as the first couple games were, Donnie? You crash, you can go for it.
This is my point that, you know, and the argument that Candace and I had was, if you look back and if you played the first two, you remember every single time that you were to open a door, you were like, oh shit, what the fuck is going to be in there? You really didn't have that with this. It really didn't feel like it, like any time if I turned a corner, like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I really didn't have that at all. It felt very shooter-esque in a horror environment. I didn't have survival feel like I'm going to turn the corner and I'm going to get fucked up. I didn't get that.
Okay, to answer your question about the weapon and ammo thing, is that where, take it back to Dead Space, playing it on normal, ammo was not really scariest. And on normal in Dead Space, one or two, and you still had the multiple weapons with you, And yet the game was still scary as heck with all the ammunition you had and weapons you had.
Here's the thing about Dead Space. They do atmosphere better than any other – Visceral Games does atmosphere in that game better than any other big-time developer there is. Like, as far as a horror atmosphere, yes, they do it better. They make good use of sound, like the isolation and the sound of like Isaac breathing that you hear, and just the sense of being in space and just in this dire situation. Yes, they set that up better than any other horror developer right now. I'll give you that. Yes.
And why can't Capcom do it? Come on, they freaking, you know, started this phenomena on game consoles when it came to this stuff.
Yes, and they can most definitely put it off. And there's not only with the sound effects, with the enemies, you can shoot them almost, you know, a large number of times, and they will not fall. The way you have to kill the enemies is also frightening, because you blasting away, and they coming at them like nothing even touched them until you blow off pieces of them. So the way you have to kill the enemies are also... it's frightening. And that's not just the regular old enemies coming at you. That's also the bosses, the boss enemies. You got to shoot off pieces of the boss. To me, Dead Space, I'm not calling it perfect, but it did everything, in my opinion, when it comes to horror. And people who listen to this show, they know I'm a huge horror fanatic. I don't even jump on horror movies anymore. And that's still my favorite franchise. Nothing in horror movies scares me anymore. And horror games is the only thing that I jump on because I'm so into them. I'm Isaac when I'm playing that game. And I'm like, oh, snap. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, moving on. That was some good Dead Space and Resident Evil talk. I still think you committed blasphemies when you talked about Resident Evil 6 Crash, but still cool with me. We don't have a question actually typed down, but I thought of one in during the midst of the show. And I want to ask you guys and listeners, come on. I want y'all to send some answers to these questions. If y'all been, you know, listening to the show, send some answers and come with your own questions also. My question for this episode is, what game from the PS2 era that y'all want to see a sequel of that's not have yet made it to the PS3?
All right, Crash, I'll let you go first.
Man, it's been so long since I played a PS2 game, and all the ones that I really liked were made sequels. Like,
are we talking PlayStation exclusive, Donnie?
Not really. Nope. It could be any game that was on in the PS2 era back in that time.
Okay, I got one.
That's not made it to the PS3. Put it there, not have made it to the next gen systems yet, but you want to see a sequel.
Or something like Sly Cooper, which is coming out with a sequel soon.
Yeah. Okay, I got one.
All right.
I believe it was a PS1 game, though.
That's fair.
That's fair.
Final Fantasy Tactics.
No, that's not fair. Ask that.
No, it's totally fair. I don't want an HD remake of it. And I know you can buy it on PS1 Classics and stuff like that off the network and stuff like that. But let's see Final Fantasy make another tactics game. Because right now, the big complaint about Final Fantasy games is they're not very engaging like they used to be. So let's try to bring some of the old Final Fantasy fans back. Let's make a brand new tactics game, which was an excellent game on the PS1, and let's try to get some of those fans back, because I loved it. It's probably number one, my favorite game of all time, Tactics. Let's see a brand new one. Oh, don't you, fuck you. I heard that.
Donnie, you are not slick.
Alice.
I want to see another Okami. I know they did Okami Den for the DS, but I would just love to see Okami Den for the PlayStation 3 or next gen system, PlayStation 4, whatever they're calling it. But I would really love to see another Okami game because I love the music in the first game. A new game that looks like that on a more powerful system could just look absolutely gorgeous with the watercolor paintings, and the gameplay was just fantastic. You know, it was a Zelda-esque game. It's probably the second best Zelda game ever made. And I say that, you know, and say calling it a Zelda game is really kind of – calling it a Zelda clone is not fair because there were a lot of things that it did much better than Zelda. But a sequel to Okami would just be right up my alley. I would just love to see that.
Okay, my game would be Psychonauts 2.
Oh, dude. Another one of my PlayStation 2 favorites.
Psychonauts 2, I'm like, what the heck is taking so long? Minus my Kingdom Hearts 3, but I'm not going to say that anymore.
You know what the problem with Psychonauts is that Double Fine can't find anybody to back the project. The first game sold so poorly, I mean...
Oh, they can find somebody. Let's not go over that again.
All right, well, I mean, originally the game was supposed to be exclusive to Microsoft, and then, you know, it turned out Majesco, like, I think the project got dropped before it was even supposed to... it was even released, so they built it hoping to release it on some console, and then Majesco picked it up later, and Majesco published it, and the game sold very poorly, and that's why Majesco now makes, you know, Jillian Michaels exercise games and Cookie Mama games.
Okay, I'll tell you right now, and I'm predicting it now, you can put it on the record, Double Fine already tested the waters with their adventure game that they're going to be making with, $3.5 million raised on Kickstarter?
Mm-hmm.
Put money on it that the next thing that they announce, the next game that they're going to do, and they're going to put it up on Kickstarter, and it's going to fucking just blow up. They're going to say Psychonauts 2. Watch. It's going to happen.
I wanted to be that so bad, and I want to be on your bandwagon because I really wanted to be that so bad.
You know it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm calling it right now.
And people, listeners, when you answer this question, please, no reboots. I don't want to hear nothing about no freaking reboots.
That's why I said not tactics reboot, brand new.
Freaking reboots. Continue the daggone story so we can come to a conclusion. That's my whole biggest thing about reboots. They never concluded, but yet they want to reboot it. But all right, moving on to the closing of the show. Proven Gamers are looking for writers. If you want to write, go to provengamer.com. Application, submit it, and we'll overlook it. By we, not me, but somebody go overlook it for you. Put you on in there. Come listen to us on Stitcher. This app. Go on to download that. We're on Stitcher.
And of course, Donnie, we can't forget to mention you can find us on iTunes as well as Zune. I forgot Zune a few weeks ago. So Zune is still a thing, I guess.
There you go. Let's put that in there. iTunes and Zune. Zune, Zune, Zune.
And rest in peace, Tricky.
We try to revive you, man.
After 9 times, I don't think we can bring him back.
Yeah, I think he been ran out of one-ups a long time ago. But
we can only have Crash on the show, 6 more times? Because every time we'll just kill him off. And then Tricky's, you know, 9 lives, that's a thing, right?
Yes, it is.
All right, well, Donnie, if you like Trophy Whores, you can also listen to our other podcast. Donnie, what are those other podcasts?
The other podcast, DC World Show, where they're saving up podcasts. Acid, I messed up.
Saving the day one podcast at a time? Is that it? Donnie, we have a sponsor. Who are we sponsored by? Damn,
Prince is in the house.
That is right, folks. Prince, word, life. So if you guys want to help out Proven Gamer, there's a little Amazon link on the right side of the Proven Gamer Fit page. You click on that link, it'll take you right to Amazon and let you do your shopping. So you help us out, and you get to Amazon quick and easy. One extra little step, but, you know, we appreciate if you guys would help us out. Donnie, phone number.
330-776-8369. Our contact information, which you want to get to us personally, we can go to us on Twitter. Personally, me, Yun Twiz, Yuntwis. You can go to Alex at Sondosaurus Rex. You can go to Crash at
Crash 616.
616. Dude, yeah, that is one number away from being 666, man. What's wrong with you, man?
One number away is 2 or 0, Donnie.
One number. Okay, one digit. Okay, a digit away. Dude, put it like you're close to being 666, man. What the heck is up with that?
I'm evil.
Don't listen to him, people. Tell? He's full of shit. He's not evil.
Also, you can contact the show on Twitter, which is at Trophy Horrors. You can come to us on Facebook, on Trophy Horrors on Facebook. You can also have a Proven Gamer Steam group, but Tricky is hold of that. Get in contact with him. He's begging for people to kind of take relieve him of that. But hey, relieve him of it, or force him to do some work with it. That's what you should do. Just force him to do some work. And go to us on YouTube. We have our own page on YouTube called The Official Proven Gamer. Got some cool videos up there, some reviews that just got put up there recently. And that's some, I'm digging those video reviews that we have.
Yeah.
It's new to the site. Well,
for those of you who don't remember, who have short-term memory loss, Donnie doesn't like to read reviews.
I love reviews in audio form.
Or crayons.
Yeah, that too, because colors, the colors.
Whoa, we get the color?
Yeah, man, Proven Gamer, we got a coloring page.
Man, it's pretty much kindergarten over here. There's nap time. We get snacks, like little juice boxes and animal crackers. And when we go outside to play kickball, and we just generally do whatever the fuck we want.
Yep.
I am so up for coloring.
Damn right. Just don't be hogging all the blues. That's my favorite color. I will kick someone in the kneecap if they take my blue crayon.
You can take it. I got purple. Word. I already called.
Donnie.
Purple is color.
Keep it real, Donnie.
I'm keeping it real. Purple is the manliest color you can ever have.
Yeah. All right.
Like Bart.
If you can't call or is it long distance, you can go to the website.com to their right side of the screen, it's a message button. You can pop on there and leave a message. And it's not for any one person. It's for the whole entire site, all the staff members. Just go there, click it, say your message, and you can just leave it at that. And I'm.
Yeah, well, folks, this is also where you can leave your love letters to Donnie. And Donnie, of course, appreciates when the ladies leave him love letters. And you know, maybe a little poetry, Donnie. Are you cool with that?
Hey, poetry, I am down with that. And still, I am up to now meeting 85% of you guys' mobs. So send them to have a message.
Donnie, you stay the hell away from my mother.
Your mother loved me.
Of course, who wouldn't, Donnie? But you stay away from my mother. I will never, ever call you stepdad.
Yeah, you will, boy.
I know. I will renounce my last name and just leave. I will go somewhere. Not here. Some island, and I'll rename it Rhinoceros Land, because I like rhinoceroses. Damn it. I need a beer.
Shout-outs. Crash, go with you first. Get you out the way.
Well, thanks for having me on again. I really appreciate it. And, of course, you can come check out the content that myself and Alex as well produces over at WoodYouKindly.com. We have a multitude of podcasts as well as video shows, editorials. Just come check it out, WoodYouKindly.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at WoodYouKindly. And we also are on Facebook at just a couple WoodYouKindly. Simple as that.
Would you kindly go to WoodYouKindly, please?
Yes, WoodYouKindly.com.
Best website name ever.
Indeed.
Alex, how about you?
All right, I want to give a shout-out to Tricky Mick. I got to admit, with all the hurricane stuff, I was worried about him. Couldn't talk to him for a few days, couldn't get a hold of him, not even text. So I was glad that I got to talk to him a bit last night and find out that he was okay.
Were you talking to the ghost?
Yes, I channel spirits. Okay. I have an Ouija board that is pretty sick. It is, like, intense. So
sweet.
Yeah, I'm talented. I hold seances all the time. Crazy shit. I'm talking to Colonel Harlan Sanders tomorrow, if anybody wants to swing by. But what?
Sorrow too?
What?
Are you using the help of with sorrow? Like, is the sorrow helping you?
What is the sorrow?
Oh, man, you don't, oh, I forget, man. You don't play Metal Gear, man. Dang.
Anyway, before Donnie gets too butthurt, I would also like to thank Donnie for always joining me on this wonderful show. It's always fun to do this every Thursday. And, of course, I would like to thank Crash for coming on once again. Very late notice, but Crash is always a good sport, and he always he likes to podcast, so he's a veteran, so he's been doing it for years. So and of course,
especially when I don't have to edit.
Exactly. We can just kind of come on, kill off people, and run amok everywhere.
I know, that's twice.
A shout out also to actually two of them, Tommy and of course Pseudo, better known as Justin. They of course over at Would You Kindly, the premier podcast, The Gamer's Garage. It's a great show. 40 minutes every week, probably one of the best 40 minutes of your week that you can possibly have, so definitely check it out. It's one of my favorite podcasts, and I'm not just saying that because I work for the site. It's really awesome. And then, of course, shout out to Amanda, one of the co-hosts of Life.exe, also on Would You Kindly, and, of course, my wonderful co-hosts on The Floor is Lava, Candace and Klaus. I have so much fun recording with them every week, and I'm just so glad that they have, and as well as Crash and Justin, have given me the opportunity to do that. So,
latest episode of The Floor is Lava will be out by the time you hear this.
Yep, it'll be out it would have been released last Friday, so yeah, it'll be out. So go check it out. We're doing Reboot.
Sweet. Okay, I want to give a shout out to Crash. Thank you, buddy. My first time recording with you.
I got you, homie.
You a hoot. Alex, for throwing me under the bus, I will admit to this.
You know what, dude? Let's be honest. I have hosted this show.
I know, but I'm saying I will admit to my – this is a crappy whole job with me. Last time, like I said, I had show notes, and I was prepared. It just my mic was jacked up, and it was jacked up this time, too. I don't know what the heck it is with me hosting with this microphone. But anyway, to continue, Tricky, also, I'm glad you're okay. I must admit, I was kind of worried, too, when you didn't return my message. You know, you owe me $3. Glad you're back.
That's ghost Tricky.
Yeah, good luck getting those ghost dollars.
Everybody who listened to the show, continue to listen to the show. I'm sorry if the show ran long. I'm going to try my best to cut this down. Because I don't want – I'll be trying to keep it under an hour, 45 to an hour. Come and bring your questions, people. Bring your questions and answer our questions that we have for the show. You know, that'd be extra great. I would love to hear that.
Yeah, you know what? And you know, hey, if you're down with this, Donnie, if you answer the question, you send us in some audio of you answering the question, we'll put it in the show.
Yeah.
So, let's do this. Do you want to come up with a question right now that they can answer, that we can put out so they can listen to the show and then answer it and send it to us for next week's show?
All right. Go it out there.
All right. Since we were talking about, you know, how you spend your money as far as gaming goes and voting with your wallet and all that kind of stuff, if PlayStation Plus were to add a PlayStation Plus Premium and it was $100 for the year, which would include one digital day one copy of your choice of any brand new release game, and they would offer, let's say, double the free games and discounts that they already do, would you pay double for what you're paying now?
Oh, man, what the heck? I want to answer this right now.
we will wait to do it on next week's show.
You gotta bring you back on for that one. If you don't mind, Crash.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
And that is a good question.
Donnie, take us out.
And I'm not going to take us out like a trick either. So if you don't want to listen to the show no more, push stop right now. Peace out.
Later.
Bitches.
Well, it's the end of the show. Let the credits roll. Y'all gotta go. And I'm about to pull a puppy. Shut down the studio. But how was it, though?
It was dope. Had me rolling on the floor, yo.
Oh, squad.
Yeah, for sure. And I'ma download Simone. And I'ma let people know. Y'all the real trophy hoe.
Thanks, bro. Tune into the iTunes radio. And just like before, thanks for listening to the show. Oh.